In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated.
One of the thickest packages that I received as a parish pastor each fall was the annual Evangelism Sunday materials from Kirkwood. Elaborate checklist, cut and paste worship services, even logo name pads, name tags, and pens were included in the package. It was all there, and it was to be used during a Sunday in the Epiphany season. The Epiphanies of this season are sometimes seen as producing triumphant conversion. The star guiding the Magi to the flesh and blood baby whom they worshipped. The voice coming down from heaven and the Spirit descending as a dove. The water turning to wine. The thousands being fed from a few loaves and fish. The many lame and blind being healed, the dead being raised, and Christ appearing in brilliant radiance as the sun, even as we heard and saw just yesterday. The evangelist John records carefully several of these epiphanies in his gospel. He even calls them signs. But he acknowledges in our text that these signs were not producing conversion. As he writes, though Jesus had done many signs before them, yet they did not believe in him. John goes on to quote the Lord's words spoken to Isaiah the prophet about the blindness and the deadness of sinful man, that we neither see with our eyes nor understand with our hearts. The signs and words of Jesus, as with the other prophets who came before him, were producing more rejection than conversion. To see and to hear did not equal to believe. As future pastors, we may ask, if these epiphanies are not the key message to our mission, to our outreach, then what is? John records here that Jesus himself kept pointing people forward to an even greater epiphany. And that is certainly throughout the Gospel of John, as Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come." In the verses preceding our text, Jesus declares that the time for that greatest epiphany has arrived, as we read him say, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." And lest we miss this reference as some kind of allusion to Jesus' exaltation, his ascension, John writes right after these words of Jesus, "He said this to show by what death he was to die." For Jesus, the clearest and the greatest epiphany of his ministry, the one that would break through our blindness and hardness of heart, was when he was lifted up on the cross. Of all signs that reveal his true nature, none is more revelatory than his death on the cross. As bright as the light of this world shone in the earlier ministry of Christ, it was brightest when darkness came over this whole land. For there Christ overcame the dark debt of our sin that we were penniless to pay. It was brightest when Christ, the world's servant king, obediently mounted the throne of his cross and toppled Satan, the usurping ruler of this world. It is this humiliating epiphany, Jesus declares, to be nothing less than the visible gospel that will draw men to himself. Does this place we modern men at a disadvantage because we are not eyewitnesses to all these epiphanies, especially to the epiphany of God's glory on the cross, John's mention of Isaiah, seeing Jesus' glory helps us to answer this question. Here, the evangelist tells us the absolutely amazing truth that when Isaiah was called, recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, he experienced an epiphany. He saw the pre-incarnate Christ visible as the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord. The early church knew that the Christ who manifested God's presence before his incarnation would continue to show himself after his ascension. It is no surprise that they took the very words from Isaiah's epiphany to accompany the epiphany that happens each Lord's Day in the divine service. For as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy," Christ is manifested, made visible for us on his altar in his meal. When I was teaching about this in a class this past summer, it's interesting. Sometimes even we who have seen this reality are slow to see it happen week after week, blind to the truth of Christ manifesting himself in our midst. When I was talking about this, one of the lay people that was in my class said, "Do you mean to say that there is an epiphany, literally a theophany, in each divine service?" Absolutely yes. Indeed, the epiphanies of our Lord are not confined to the thousands of years ago in a distant land. The greatest epiphany, the epiphany of God's glory, of Christ at the cross, continues to shine in today's darkened world, where the apostolic word of Christ crucified is preached. There is an epiphany as Christ is lifted up for the world, for you and I, that he may draw us to see, to hear, and to believe. Where his sacred meal is celebrated according to his command, there is an epiphany as Christ is lifted up at the altar and places his unblemished body and pours his sacrificial blood onto our unclean lips in order that we, like Isaiah, mighty seer of old, may see, may taste, may believe, and may be cleansed of sin's condemnation. We don't have to travel back to Calvary to behold the light of Christ. We don't have to journey up to heaven. We couldn't if we tried. Instead, that light, Jesus Christ, comes to us and reveals himself at the font, on the table, and in his very words. There, the greatest epiphany, the revelation of God taking away the sins of the world, our sins, continues to be visible for you, for me, for the world to see. Therefore, the words of Jesus speak also to us. While you have the light, believe the light. Amen.